Okay, welcome to Paradigm Shifters. Paradigm shifting is a big job these days. That means shifting our way of thinking, shifting our way of being, shifting our core values. And I have a wonderful guest today, an absolutely exciting woman who's written a book called The Seven Commandments for Happiness and Prosperity. And what you're going to love about this is Sherry Brown, my guest, is going to bring forward seven, instead of the Ten Commandments that some of us in the Christian mode are used to, and the various other commandments in the other religious modes. She has distilled seven commandments out of Muslim, Christianity, and Judaism, and a whole lot more that she has to share. So, welcome so much to the show, Sherry Brown.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show,
And
Veronica.
it's And I'm so glad to have you here. And also, the thing that's interesting to me is one of the things that we have to do as a species, as a human race, as we got a race for life, right,
Right.
is shift a lot of our core values or the core values that we share, or perhaps it's investigation of what they really are instead of being divided by our religious contexts and so on. Is that what is it that drove you to this first? And I also want to know about your background because you've got a real broad spectrum of religious backgrounds that people need to hear about that as well.
I was born in Iran, a Shia Muslim. I came to America to go to pursue my studying. I went to Catholic college and I became an engineer. I married a Jewish man from New York. But none of these really, even though I got baptized in Philipport Bay because I related to Christ, none of these really made me more interested about studying the religion than 1979, when I had finished college and I went to Iran in 1976, and I saw the history being made by revolution of Islamic revolution, and what I saw Islamic that called Islamic, which was one of God's religions, it struck me as being wrong. So I started studying all the three books. I started with Torah, I started with New Testament and Quran. And I have been reading these books over 28 years now,
Well, let me
every
interrupt
day.
you. Oh, okay. I love this. Let's interrupt you just for a moment. And you said you saw it when you went back to Iran, and you said what you saw was wrong. Is that because of how people were carrying out the principles that you weren't? Tell us what it meant to say it was wrong.
Well, they were killing people, executing people, some of them, like all these generals and senators, some of whom I knew, and I knew they were really godly people and they haven't hurt anyone. If anything, they helped people, and yet just because they had money, they had to be executed. So I couldn't figure out why would God would even have a religion that says that. So I started being doubtful about the whole Islam until I started reading about it. And I realized none of which they are doing, their action, has anything to do with what Quran says. Because when I read all the three testaments, I realized that firstly, the reason why they call Muhammad the seal of the prophet and they call the Quran the final testament is because he completed the religion, now the message of God. Now, he said Moses is God, believes in one God. Jesus believed in one God. He believed in one God. Abraham believed in one God. So the whole essence of religion is to believe one God. Now, segregation is what he was against. Now, if he said, even in prayers, he said, if you don't do prayers, if you don't do Shabbat, which is Jewish people do, you can do five-time prayers. At the end of Quran, it says black and white. If you are working hard all day and cannot do five-time prayers, do it one time. Do it at night. So in my book, I read it objectively because, firstly, I know that all of these books were written after the death of these prophets. That they had written by hand, copied by hand, and not until a printable copy by William Hill was made, they were all copying one another, and either purposefully or maybe they couldn't read the other person's handwriting, it was improvised. So they put their own thoughts into it. So if you see a lot of discrepancies, is because people wrote these books. God didn't write them. Now, what I take from the message of all these three books is basically what Moses said, what Jesus said, and what Muhammad said. Because God said, I blessed Muhammad with my book and the law. I blessed Jesus with my spirit and raised him in my bosom. And I blessed Muhammad with the book. So this is all the three that I'm following. I consolidated the 10 commandments of Moses, 2 commandments of Jesus, and 7 commandments, which is in the first surah of Quran, which is based, everything is based upon that one surah. And I came up with 7 commandments without losing anything from the 19 commandments and the message of all the prophets. And I realized that the similarity is way more than the differences between these three religions. They're very similar. They kind of woven together, and you can't do one without the other. So I call it a pyramid, that these three prophets are the cornerstones, and one cannot be complete with the other two, nor any two could be completed with one. So basically everything that would guide us through the righteous and happiness and happier life is what this message is telling us. If we read it and read the 7 commandments and follow the tenets of 7 commandments, everything is there.
Why don't we talk about the 7 commandments? Because, like, for example, when you said Moses' 10 commandments, I think a lot of us know those commandments, but it's right. Not just Christian at all, is it?
No, but then Jesus comes and summarizes that 10 commandments with love and peace. If you love your neighbor and you're a peaceful person, you don't steal from him, you don't kill him. So he basically came and summarized it. But people, for their own purposes, they wanted to flourish a new religion, and they call it a new religion. They called it something else. Then Muhammad comes for illiterate people in Arabia from a clan called Hashemite, and he's teaching us exactly what Moses. Two-thirds of Quran is about Moses and Jesus. And they're saying, and what they say. So it's nothing really different, except when people under the banner of Islam, or during Crusades under the banner of Christianity, kill other people. There is nothing that says in Quran to kill for gaining property or possessions or oil or anything else. God says in Quran that this nation is a violent nation. I sent you to calm them down and correct them. So what happens right after he dies, the Islam gets hijacked by Bani Umayyah, which is totally different tribes. And those were the people that he came to correct.
Is that therefore, after Jesus died? Is that what you said?
After Muhammad died.
After Muhammad died.
Muhammad mm-hmm. died, and then Khalifa came up. Mm. Muhammad never really had any intention of having Khalifa. Mm. Now, then after that, the other Khalifa come, and then
explain
Ottoman
what Khalifa is, please, for those of us who are a little bit...
What?
Can you explain what that is, Khalifa?
Khalifa is... Basically, after Muhammad, Khalifa is like a kingdom, like governor,
okay.
like the person who would follow, who is supposed to follow what Muhammad left off.
Okay.
His successor. He didn't mean the successor being called, putting any name on it. In fact, he says people who mention names and put titles on these things are people who want to segregate. There is no segregation here. They all believe in one God. Khalifat is what ISIS now is trying to reinvent Khalifat.
Oh.
Like al-Baghdadi calls himself Abu Bakr. He's assuming the name of the Khalifa who hijacked Islam from Muhammad. He's yeah. assuming that name. He's calling himself Abu Bakr. So the religion itself was right after each one of these prophets died, they came up, people for political reason only, they made something and they changed it and they came up with new laws and regulations, and it's become so convoluted that at this point, people really have lost the essence of believing in one God.
Well, now, I thank you for that. But I also want to ask you before we lose track of this part, is so many people believe that the Quran teaches people to kill for God when it's necessary.
Never.
That's what I thought. Thank you.
Never, never, never. Nor did Quran ever say that women should cover their hair.
Oh, really? Wonderful.
Yes.
Hmm.
Even the five-time prayers Quran says if you don't do Shabbat, do that. And then at the end says if you're working hard, do your prayers at night. So these are all man-made. The interpretation has been wrong. And I think what they do, they brainwash these illiterate because these kids from Iraq or you know, they get brainwashed. And they think this is what really Quran is teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it's like Catholics, you know. I mean, Jesus Christ came and said the biggest sin that anybody could commit is to take one of these little children and make them commit the sin. What do the crooked priests or ministers do? They do exactly what is the worst. Sin, according to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know why they waste their time praying when they know that what Jesus said, unless they think they have the power to change the word of these prophets.
Mm-hmm.
The word of these prophets came from, this is how God communicated to us through these three. He had 124,000 prophets.
Mm.
Three of them were the ones who relayed his message to us human beings by the verses of books, by the means of books and tablets and Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad. But it's kind of his message has been lost. And this greed and avarice from these people, Al-Qaeda, it's first Khomeini, then it's Mujahideen, then it becomes Al-Qaeda and Brotherhood, and now we have ISIS, who want to go back to the first time that Muhammad, the first caliph that Muhammad, that stole the Islam from Muhammad, and now they're killing each other. Because do you really think that Muhammad wanted to have five different Sunnis and three different sects of Shias? Or did Christ wanted so many different kind of Christianity?
Mm-mm.
They made it up because of their own purpose.
So of owner, it's kind of ownership, isn't it? Tell me this, Sherry. When you mentioned something earlier, I can't sort of backtrack appropriately, but you said something, and I go, I think, oh, about the priests and the little kids and so on. I feel this, that people, okay, the spiritual truths that you're talking about that have been written and rewritten and then grabbed for the sake of power and so on, people know deep down, don't they? People feel
Yes.
the essence of spirituality, no matter what your religion is. Do they not?
Yes,
They
they
know
do.
when they're good. We know
They
when
do.
we're good, huh?
But when we are, they do. But when they're children who don't even know how to read, well, firstly, Quran is written in a poetic way. It's very complicated.
Okay.
Now, when they can't read, and these so-called scholars misinterpret Quran and tell them things that do not exist at all in Quran, like I said, I never read anywhere, and I've been reading Quran cover to cover maybe 50 times. I
Wow.
never read anything about women have to cover their hair, let alone their faces. I never read for anybody to just go and kill. As far as jihad is supposed to be an obsolete phrase, meaning that all of the bloodshed in all of this, from Moses to King David to Muhammad, they were all for unbelievers. So if anyone believes in God and you go and attack them like they did in Twin Towers, so according to their own Quran, martyrs are the ones who were killed. Martyrs are the ones who were beheaded because they didn't even have time to defend themselves.
Oh wow. And it's just what is it? Dog eat dog. You know, this is maybe going to sound like a non sequitur, but I'm often fascinated by the whole, like, the religious right and some of the extremism that we're facing and the fear of Muslimism and, you know, the whole thing that's going on. And I keep thinking how amazing the Christian model
Right.
has as its root or as its core myth that Adam and Eve had two children, Cain and Abel, and Cain killed Abel. And I go, is
Right.
that a part of our myth that keeps perpetuating? Do you know what I'm trying to say? I'm saying, is that a
Yes,
part of it
yes,
that keeps
yes.
perpetuating
Yes,
murder?
and that was also for greed. Every time people kill for greed, they have nothing to do with God. This has nothing to do with God, but their own ego. They are not God believers. And you know what bothers me, if I may say so, is
Please,
the
yeah.
fact that even our presidents and our candidates and all these smart, educated people who are running our country, they're still calling these people Muslim. They're not Muslims. They're just regular killers, serial killers who enjoy shedding blood. They actually, they're different species. They like to see blood gushing out. These are not, have not, they're not Muslim. Muslim is the one who is doing whatever Jesus and Muhammad said, and Moses said. That's what Quran says. If they, and it's unfortunate that nobody ever reads Quran. Or if they do read, they don't understand it because I read different publications. There are some points at which the different publications, there's ambiguity. Unless you read so many different publications, you don't really understand what it means.
But all
I'm
po
not sure.
poetry is like that too. I mean, it's metaphorical a lot of
Right.
times in parable, right?
Right. So I'm not sure if it's been done purposefully or non-purposefully, non-purpose. But in any case, none of the Muslims ever read the Bible. None of the Christians ever read Quran. They just decide that they're all enemies. And this has happened from thousands of years ago, you know?
Yeah, but you know
It's
what's
always.
interesting? I was raised Catholic, and I have a lot of friends who were raised in different religions, and we were taught that it was evil to read someone else's books. Now, because I'm thirsty and hungry for information, I tend to do it anyway. But
Right.
we were told that it was a sin.
But you weren't told by any of the books. If you read all the books, it never ever tells you not to. In fact, Quran says, I sent you Moses, you didn't believe me.
Yeah.
I sent you Jesus, you didn't believe me. Now I'm sending you Muhammad. God says that. I don't know who comes and says it's a sin to read other books.
You know
Only
who it
people.
Is. It's people who want to control the numbers and keep their business going.
And keep, yes, and they want to be, really, they're after money and real estate and power. This is all power play and politics.
I know, it's really sad. It's really...
Yes.
And it was only recent that I discovered, I didn't know this before, that the Crusades were a land grab. They weren't actually
yes.
for Jesus, you know.
Exactly. They weren't for any... Why would they even be enemies? God wanted them to... He didn't want different religion. He says it. He says that I sent you all of these to give you my own one message.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they want to fight for the Gaza Strip, if there is a fight between this, if crusaders were fighting over land and power and they wanted to show their power, has nothing to do with God and religion.
Nothing
now,
to do
what,
with it. I know.
No. And happiness comes from you looking through your eyes of your heart with love and light and see that all we need to be is righteous people and live a righteous life, not a greedy life like what they're doing now. What I hear this ISIS doing to women is horrendous. This you would not believe. One of the things I heard is that because they're taught it's against the law to hang a virgin, what they do, they rape the girl the night before they're going to hang him. Now, you think that the raping is okay, but it's not right. I mean, they're really confused.
Wow,
yes,
that is tragic. That is terrible, eh?
That's, yes. Oh, if you hear the stories of what they're doing, you're wondering if this... I was in Iran during the revolution. I didn't see anything these people do that has anything to do with Quran now that I... in the retrospect. Now, I don't know what they're prostrating themselves to, but there definitely is not Quran. I don't know why they hate us. What is this death to America, death to America? America didn't exist during Muhammad and during Islam, during writing Quran even 100 years after. There was no America. What is this hatred about America? Where did that come from? Oil?
So when you probably, and when you go back over to Iran, do you find that the hatred of the U.S. is common to what we'll call now Muslim people?
Iranian people, they love Americans.
Okay.
Even in Iraq, people love Americans. It's like the governments and the greed and what they teach and how they force themselves and how they, you know, after... Jesus Christ, even 200 years after Christ died, Christ said it's okay if you want to eat pig, because what you put in your body is not going to make you unclean. What comes out of your mouth is going to make you unclean.
Mm.
So 200 years after, the so-called religious leaders would force feed people pig, and if they didn't eat, they would fry their body parts in the frying pan in front of their siblings. This is the history.
No.
He didn't say that you have to eat it. He said it's okay if you eat it or you're not eating.
Mm-hmm.
It's like circumcisions and prayers. None of this is that important. It's important if you live a righteous life, you wipe somebody's tear, you help people if you are blessed with money, you have to give the poor rates. It says over and over in all the books, if you pay the poor rates, God makes you more successful. In my Old Testament, it says you gain 10 times much. In Quran, it says that you would be prosperous if you pay the poor. those you don't have to worry about anything, you shall never grieve. So whatever these people are calling themselves, it's insulting to hear that they're called Muslims and they're called jihadist Muslims. We should just name them terrorist killers, serial killers. That's all they are. They have nothing to do with Islam.
Mm.
And it's unfortunate that we got involved and overthrew those dictators like Gaddafi and Saddam Hussein, because now we opened the road for ISIS to come in. At least they were our allies, no matter how bad they were to their own people. We shouldn't have interfered, because now we opened a can of worms, and it's been taking, after 35 or 40 years, they've had enough time. They have the money to buy the best armed forces, and they're just moving in on us.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty scary, isn't it?
Yes, it's very scary.
And then it didn't have to be happening. No, I see what you're saying. You're saying that it's not written that way, but they're using language to sell that idea, right?
Yes. And also, when we're proud of killing Osama bin Laden, none of these people who have been in front of the camera, like Jihadi John, Osama bin, these people are, the head of the snake are not being killed yet. That's why, as the Al Qaeda is still here, mm-hmm. live and alive. Why? Because we went after the wrong guy.
So you think Bin Laden wasn't one of the people that was key?
No, Bin Laden was recruited. We had Al Zawahiri when Anwar Sadat was assassinated. We had Egyptian doctor named Al-Zawahiri, he was young at that time, in jail, who was talking about death to America, death to America, a CIA killed Anwar Sadat. We let this guy go. He goes and recruits a good-looking, charismatic, rich person like Osama bin Laden, puts him in front of the camera. He was the head. He was his boss. Al-Zawahiri is still alive, and he's still running Al-Qaeda.
Hmm.
We killed Jihadi John. That was not the head of ISIS. The head of ISIS is al-Baghdadi, not him. Nobody, none of the head of these terrorists are coming and giving interviews or talk to us. We just have this recording from their speech. I was listening to speech of Al-Khamenei, and I was reading his lips, and the fact that and he was saying things about John Kerry. This is after that horrible deal we made with them. And he was saying all these negative things. When they translated, they sugarcoated. And people were chanting, death to America, death to America. This is after John Kerry went to Iran. And he called John Kerry. He said, they sent me that crippled Jew. I knew that his foot was in the cast. I didn't know he was Jewish until I Googled and
found out.
Is that
John Kerry? John Kerry, yes. The crippled Jew? Oh, my.
That's what he said. And then I went and said, well, he was not Jewish. Then I found out, yes, they came during the, his ancestors came during, they were Jewish, they're from Hungary, that they came to America. So they know all of this, and they make fun of us. And I don't think they are ever, ever going to stop to honor their contract with us. They think we are satanic. They
wow.
don't even like us. When I think they are satanic themselves.
Well, it seems to me that's really, so there's no policing possible for keeping track of what kind of spiritual principles are being sold to the people, right?
Yes, they're telling people America. See, I don't think these little children that are being brought up by these high riders or Iranian or terrorists know even that America didn't exist. They just think that their mission to go to heaven is to kill Americans. Now, if they read what jihad means, they would know that anybody they killed, that person or people in 9/11 are the ones who are martyred, not them, because that's not the Quran says. If somebody believes in one God and somebody attacks them because of that, then that person who gets killed is and believes in one God is a martyr and goes to heaven, goes to paradise. They read it backwards. They
translate. So the people that are killing people or the suicide bombers, they're not going to go to heaven and meet.
No, they're just killers. Yeah. The people they kill are going. If they read the Quran, they would realize that. The people who they kill, most probably everybody was believing in one God. Everybody, no matter what, if they call themselves, if they're followers of Christ or Jewish Jesus or Muhammad, if they believe in one God, they go to heaven, they get killed like that. Mm-hmm. They read it backwards. It's all about greed, money, and power.
Well, it's funny, Sherry. I'm always watching, you know, I watch I'll go back to the Christian Right because I've watched them more than I have watched that group you're speaking about. But I'm always saying, well, when is Jesus going to show up and kick the money changers out of the temples? Please.
Yeah, really.
And it's really so simple. That is as old as anything biblical, right? That expression.
Yes, exactly.
And so you're saying basically the same thing because we're being ruled by it, aren't we?
Everybody, yes, we're being ruled by these money hunger killers, blood. I mean, the way they rape women. I was watching television that the Yazidis are Sunnis. So what they do, they have the same, they all follow Muhammad. So the Yazidi girl was saying that she was being raped. The husband of the ISIS guy, the wife was holding her hand while the husband was raping her.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what part of this was on television the other night.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what part of this is godly.
That's terrifyingly sad. I'm sorry.
Isn't terrifying, it? Yes.
Yeah.
Terrifying, yes.
So tell me this. Did you ever cover your head, or did you know when you were young not to do that?
No, I never, because we were not. During the Shah, you know, ISIS has been around for so long. 100 years ago, Pahlavi bought armed forces from British and got rid of them. I was born right after, I mean, way after that. So we never covered our hair. In fact, Iranians were very modern until the revolution, and I don't really know why. And the revolution, why Carter would bring Khomeini, and I understand if he wants to overthrow Shah, why would he bring somebody like Khomeini? Everyone knew it was not a secret to anyone that Khomeini was anti-American. The reason why he was exiled to Iraq is because he was anti-American. Now, why would we first build underground projects for them and then because we want Iran to be our military base in the border of Russia, then we take the country and hand it to somebody that never hid from us being anti-American? Why did we do that? It's because I think it was either lack of knowledge and the fact that we attack all these, we go into these countries before knowing who are we going to put in their place, and we overthrow their heads, and we have that chaos in Egypt and Iraq and everywhere. The reason is our lack of knowledge. And I understand an illiterate person would not have the knowledge. But somebody like Carter, somebody who's president, lack of knowledge is not excusable, in my opinion.
So do you think he put Khomeini in?
He did. He paid. He spent $6.5 billion. See, they don't tell you this. They don't tell us these things. I was in Iran when revolution happened.
And that was was that in 76?
No, 79. Okay. I went to Iran in 76.
Okay.
And I worked for Iran for for the projects that they were doing for with the Americans. And they sent me to Harvard to get a postgraduate degree. So revolution happened like in 79.
Okay.
I went there at 75, 76. Revolution happened in 79. And I finally got out of Iran. I didn't, you know, I waited for the roads to open in 1983 because I didn't want to run away from these people. But I did learn how to deal with them with critical thinking.
Okay.
Because all of these teenagers had a gun in their hand, and if they saw you or guessed that you were, from Shah or like Shah, or you're not Khomeini followers, they would kill you. And if they arrested you, you were guilty already.
Hmm.
If you had nail polish, you were guilty.
Hmm.
I mean, if I told you for what stupid reasons people got eight years of sentence life and got raped and killed and hanged on the crane, it's mind-boggling.
Well, so who were their allies? They were anti-American, but who were their allies?
Well, they're trying to, they're trying to be Syria, China, you know. When we built those underground projects for them, even though I know because there were 12 of them, even though everybody thinks it's four sites, Carter thought that okay, we won't sell them our uranium or raw material. So what they did is they went back to China and Russia and bought the raw material.
Oh.
They have the money. At the end of the day, if we don't fight with them, they have oil and we have the money. We can always buy it from them. They have to sell it and we have to buy it. But all of this chaotic that is making people miserable, poor. I've never seen so much poverty in Iran. I haven't been there, and I don't really dare to go back. But poverty is more than I have ever seen.
Wow, isn't that sad? And yet there are very, very wealthy people.
But then, they have $175 billion of the oil that we put sanction on, and we're not releasing their sanction, which is rightfully or wrongfully. But then when Donald Trump comes and says, we get nothing, well, that's wrong too,
Mm-hmm.
It's really not that we're giving them money without nothing, without getting anything back. But at the end of the day, they have a product and we have the money to buy the product.
Mm.
So I don't really know what is all these fights and...
But wait, there's something else. You're talking about billions were spent to put Khomeini in... By
yes.
Carter, I'm like
$6.5 billion.
So what do you think was behind that? To me, it's like part of the system of the machine that's behind.
I think
what's
it
apparent.
Was lack of knowledge of Carter with the culture of Iranians. Number one, when Shah did that coronation and spent that much money, Carter did not thought that people are so poor in Iran. 80% were poor, basically. And he thought he was going to make it better by overthrowing him. What he didn't know was the first thing that he should have known, the reason why Khomeini was exiled was because he was anti-America. Now, what happened, Sullivan writes to Carter that Khomeini is like Gandhi. I mean, just because they were outfits, that doesn't make them holy. Khomeini was more than evil, I thought. He was just as I would compare him with Hitler. Mm-hmm. He came and he confiscated everybody. He killed everybody. Nothing we gained except spending that kind of money. Now we have all these young people go to war, fight for nothing that is really, really worthwhile if you look at all these wars, other than the fact that the countries want to sell their obsolete armed forces. These poor kids come back home with body parts missing. I can't even look at it. Mm-hmm. Because I was in Iran and I saw how stupid these people are, mm-hmm. how uninformed Western world is from the culture of the East. They're not ready for democracy. Mm-hmm. They need a dictator like Gaddafi. When I looked at Gaddafi and what they were doing to him, I said, if somebody bring someone and said, this person killed your mother and father and your brothers and sisters, I still couldn't go gouge his eyes out and do what they did to Gaddafi. These are not human.
What's his name again? Can you say his name again?
Omar Gaddafi, head of Libya.
Okay, right, okay.
You know,
Saying we don't understand how carefully balanced the dictatorships are and can keep their own people in some kind of stasis. Is that right?
Yes, they were holding these ISIS from coming to America because no matter how bad they were in their own country, they were our allies. They would never let these guys just have power. I mean, I would think that if, for instance, Saddam Hussein was still in power, there would be no way that he would shut off all the internet in the country. Mm. Now these people are so free; they are recruiting everybody, every loser, every serial killer. One of the Americans that has joined ISIS. He had 14. He was a serial killer. They were after him for 14 people that he killed. He goes and joins ISIS. They give him good salary. They give him a pat him on the shoulder for killing another person. So these people are bloodthirsty. They're not human beings.
So he's recruiting from the worst on the world. So let's go back into your book for a few minutes, because you have 7 commandments, and I really would like to hear those, because you're expressing something I think we're all kind of conscious of and naive about or confused about and so on. Give us some spiritual principles to work with that you've gleaned, you know.
Yes. As I told you before, there's the 19 commandments of all 3 prophets. I disposed of the redundancies, because all 3 prophets said, believe in one God.
Okay.
So my first commandment, believe in God and have total obedience towards the supreme power.
Okay.
The second one is ward of evil. Evil is, you can't deal with evil by thinking that he doesn't exist. He does exist and he has power, and we have to be conscious of his power and try to stay away. When there is jealousy and anger, greed and avarice, you have to stay away from that. That shows that we have. And the more you stay away from evil, the farther he gets from you.
But that's interesting, because those are the things that we publicize in our media all the time with a certain kind of respect. I'm going, wait a minute here, right?
Yeah.
You know, jealousy, competition, greed. Right?
Even disease, even anything negative is from evil. Anything negative.
And
hereafter, you know, we all need to know, nobody knows what happens in the next life, except people who have touched and near-death experience have had, or after, you know, that's all we hear from here and there, but there is an hereafter, because the universe is going to be balanced at the end, and there is a life after this that we get punished or rewarded for what we did in this life, because this is not infinity. This is a finite life we have here, and one day everybody is going to die. And I do believe in afterlife and the life after this.
I do too. Now, when you said if evil is real, and if you drop into being a highly principled of love and respect and so on, you keep it away from you. Is that right? That's kind of like manifesting,
yes.
Isn't it? That's what metaphysicians call. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. The more you notice when you see anything, any negativity or problem in life, you have to notice that there's, for some reason, evil is around, and notice it and stay away from him by praying to God.
Okay.
And you don't have to pray if you're Muslim Friday or Christians on Sunday and Jewish people on Saturday. You can pray when you're driving. You can pray all the time. You have to be on prayer mode all the time.
I like that. We have to be praying all the time. So you're saying it's what? Attitude, release, prayer is... Tell me about what prayer is, because I think that's a pretty important thing.
Prayer is when you talk to God, verbalize your thoughts, your innermost thoughts. You admit your faults. You admit what you did wrong, because it's the only chance we have for God to forgive us our sins is this life. So we have to admit and repent. And then when you want something, you have to ask him. There is no way he won't. It says it in the Bible. You knock, the door will open to you. You ask, and it shall be granted to you. So we have to pray, repent for our sins, and ask for opening some of the roads that are close to us. Ask for it, and make sure. And you have to have faith, total faith. Because faith is not, you're not born with faith. Faith, you have to cultivate faith. You have to learn it. So with faith that this is definitely going to be granted, pray to him. Talk to him. Talk to God all the time.
Okay.
And all he needs from us is to acknowledge his existence.
So what is religion? Like what you're saying is, should cross all religions, acknowledge
his
existence?
There is only, religion is only believing in only one God. The rest is all branches of trees. We have to stick to the trunk of the tree. It's all about other rules and regulations have been for different places, different times. If in Sinai, this desert, they said that you have to throw away your Passover dinner the next day because there was no refrigeration there. Mm-hmm. There's always the religion is something that evolves per time and place. But the main thing is believing in one God. The rest of it is branches of the tree.
Mm. And,
now, charitable giver is another one of my commandments.
Okay.
That's Muhammad's commandments. If you don't have money, you don't have to always give with money. You can give with your time. You can inconvenience yourself sometimes and do something good for somebody. You have to help them if you can financially. If you can't financially, take them to the doctor if they need to be taken to the doctor. Go visit them if they're in the hospice. You know, inconvenience yourself. These are all part of giving.
Oh, I love that.
And then you have to do it from the bottom of your heart. You have to be charitable. You have to be happy. And if you know that this giving is something that you're doing for God, that already makes your heart happy.
I love that. What's the next one? Because I
next
recognize
one is
that
honoring
is...
your parents.
Oh, good.
Honoring
okay.
your parents. Now, people usually say, "Oh, my father was not honorable. My mother was not." It's not really up to us to. That's a different story. They are going to pay for their sins or whatever they do. We have to honor them. Now, I was asked questions like, how could a person honor a father that rapes her when she's a child? Well, instead of revenging by becoming a prostitute or a porn star, you revenge by becoming a very successful person and then not letting him in your life. This way, he's honored to have you as his daughter, but it's your choice not to have him in your life.
I see what you're saying is like you honor their role to bring
right.
you into this life.
Right, exactly. Yes.
So it's about not judging, isn't it?
No, you don't judge them because it's not your place to judge them. It's your place to honor them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had a great father, so I honored them until the day he died.
And probably beyond, Sherry.
Yes, beyond, especially because spiritually I'm more connected to him.
Yes, yes. So that wasn't seven, was it? That was only five?
Okay, the last one is pray continuously, that I told you about it.
Mm-hmm.
Be always in a prayer mode. Whenever you're walking, you're driving, you're doing something, don't wait until a calamity hits you all of a sudden turn to God, because that's probably too late. You have to just keep praying. You can, as soon as things happen to you. I have had so many experiences that when, for instance, I had a car accident, and when I prayed right away, I see nothing happened. Everything, the cars don't damage.
Aww.
You have to believe in the power of prayer. Prayer is so powerful, much more than we can even imagine.
But that's to make it habitual. It means that you are always creating with your mind
always.
And your heart.
You always
right?
talk to God. Always talk to somebody who has the ultimate power.
Wow. Well, I notice your book also has quite an impact when a person is reading it and going through these principles and the discussions of what are the true roots of, in quotes, religions. A person can feel, reading this book, you can feel actually expanded, or you can feel freed, can't you, to be a bigger spirit. And I don't
yes.
know. It's not
yes.
confining at
Veronica.
All.
You are so right, Veronica. It's really not that complicated to be happy. It's not as complicated as they made us. Growing up as a Shia, I was told that if I don't do five-time prayers, I was going to go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not true. I can be walking or sitting in a room or meditating. Meditation has been proven now scientifically. I don't have enough studying to tell you about it, but scientifically, they say when you meditate, something happened to the nerves and in your brain that makes you happy. When you're happy, that reflects. When you go to a job interview, that happiness and good energy reflects. You be more successful with people, communicating with people. Happiness brings prosperity because happiness begets happiness. It's very easy to sit and say, I am not lucky, everybody is lucky. But contentment is the most important thing. Christ always talks about contentment. If you are content and thankful to God, which is the only thing God wants from us, to be thankful to him and recognize him and thank him for what we have instead of complaining about what somebody else has and we don't have, then you're going to get what you want at the end.
That's the whole competition thing, isn't it, that you're dealing
yes.
with?
Yes,
also,
all greed and competition.
We unfortunately have to end this right now.
Okay.
But can you say anything about, I'm pushing the time here, but men and women evening out over the world, do you think we'll get to an evolutionary point where we will respect both sexes evenly? Do you know what I mean?
We should. Because it's in the scripture. You know, Muhammad honored people. From the time that Moses was prophet, they said that they wouldn't even count the boy, the girls. They would say he has five sons, never how many daughters. And daughters would never get any inheritance. By the time we get to Muhammad, daughters get half of the boy's inheritance. And they put them in the place of respect. So it will, if the world becomes more righteous, people would realize that women, especially the ones who are working so hard these days and have great brains, just because they're not men, they shouldn't be looking at as a second-class citizens.
No, they should not.
Even the same. I was an engineer, and I really cannot. I mean, I was interviewed a few times for magazines about the fact that how I feel about being in a world environment. I didn't have any problems because I didn't create any problems. I did my work. I never looked at somebody else's. If anything, men were always looking to see if I was making more money or not. Because I didn't have that complex that, oh, now I'm a woman, they're not going to look at me the same way. Yeah. I did my job, I did it right,
and
it
was
engineering, which was all men.
That's wonderful. I have to say goodbye, Sherry, but you're
Thank you so much, Veronica.
And you've illuminated a lot of things that I think many of us are thinking about these days. So, and your book, tell everybody the name of your book again.
Seven Commandments for Happiness and Prosperity. And my website is just sevencommandments.com.
And the book is on Amazon, is it?
Or where else? Yes, it's on Amazon and
I know that people are going to have tremendous effects from it. But I've enjoyed you very much, and you've been illuminating.
Thank you. I've enjoyed you. So
thank you.
You were a great interviewer. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sherry, and goodbye. We'll see you again,
bye-bye.
Maybe.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.